In the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. Have you spending some time with me on an Off the Rails Thursday? Off the Rails Thursday, as we count down to Texas Vanderbilt. Texas, now the fifth ranked team, against number 25 Vanderbilt, winner of three straight games. Starting with the upset heard round the SEC. Vanderbilt takes down Alabama 40-35. The goalposts go all over town. But then they show you that they've got some guts and guile about them and go to Kentucky and win. And then they did not look great in winning at home last week against a very meh Ball State team. Vanderbilt won that game 24-14. But today I want to talk a little bit about the Texas defense, because I feel like Texas is just getting thrown sort of under the bus after losing 30-15 to Georgia. And Georgia, that was a wake-up call. There is no doubt about it. Like, what Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker did to the Texas offense and to Texas's offensive tackles and to just about everything was impressive. Kirby Smart, you win. You win the coaching battle. Your defense totally outplayed Steve Sarkisian's offense, and it was not even close. It was not even close. That was the worst Texas offensive performance since the 17-10 loss to TCU at home in 2020, when the offense didn't even score a touchdown. The only touchdown Texas scored in that game against TCU was a Jahdae Barron scoop and score. Jahdae Barron is playing great, by the way. Might as well start with him. The Texas defense kind of, you know, everything about Texas this week is doom and gloom. You know, every college football show is talking about, okay, Georgia's back. They got their edge back. It only took Georgia losing in a wild shootout with Alabama, and then looking, you know, sloppy in a 41-31 win against Mississippi State. But by God, Kirby Smart played the no one respects you card better than Rodney Dangerfield for you old heads out there. And he challenged his players all week long. Well, that's what I'm hearing Steve Sarkisian's doing with his team right now. And Sarkisian, from what I hear, told his players, I wasn't good either against Georgia. I got to be better. The assistant coach has got to be better. And we as a team have to be better. But at the risk of, you know, putting some, and I'm not, I don't even believe that, because I just think you've got to give love where love is deserved. And the Texas defense showed up against Georgia. The Texas defense got two first quarter interceptions, and including one on the Georgia half of the field. Thank you, Andrew Makuba, and gave the offense opportunities to take the lead, gave the Texas offense opportunities to set the tone, get things going. I rewatched the game again, and watching Quintravian Wisner drop that pass where it was going to be a foot race to the end zone. Brutal. You know, against elite teams, you cannot make mistakes like that. You have to come through in the moment. The moment can't be too big. That was, you know, I've had people say that that drop reminded me of Keontae Ingram's drop against LSU. God, you hope not, because Keontae Ingram ended up transferring at the end of that year because he had also fumbled at the goal line with a chance to beat TCU that season. But the Texas defense showed up and did its thing. And when you look at this Texas defense, they are getting it done on the defensive line. And I'm gonna be nice to Trey Moore for a minute. But you're seeing, again, we need to talk about Kenny Baker, because the job he's doing with Jermaine Lole, Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, the guys in the middle, the interior defensive linemen, because Pete Kwiatkowski coaches the ends, the edges, which we'll talk about my man Trey Moore, but they're getting it done. The interior defensive linemen for Texas are getting it done. Alfred Collins, Jermaine Lole had their best games of the year against Georgia. Like, Albert Collins was getting penetration. He was disrupting the quarterback. Jermaine Lole is controlling his gap. And, you know, Vernon Broughton, it wasn't his best game, but he's had a great season. And this Texas defense is getting it done against the run. And that's, you know, all you can ask. I mean, the big concern was, how's Texas going to survive without Tavondre Sweat and without Byron Murphy? Well, they're giving up 3.07 yards per carry. Last year, they gave up 2.99. They showed up against Georgia, and I understand that, Georgia ended up with 30 carries for 108 yards rushing, 3.6 a carry. Okay. I will take that. And, you know, you force three interceptions. You collect three interceptions from Carson Beck, two of them in the first quarter. You've done what you're supposed to do. You know, you've made it, to where you're getting extra possessions for your offense. And this offense right now needs to get off the deck. I mean, they need to get off the deck. We'll get into that in a minute. But Texas defense held Georgia to 6 of 17 on third down. That's 35%. That's right at the acceptable level. You know, ideally, you'd like to hold teams to 33% or lower in terms of third down conversion. But 35% against Carson Beck, against the most elite quarterback they've faced this year, the highest scoring offense that they had faced this year. And I just, you know, I hear about this Texas defense. Oh, they got bullied. They got put. No, they didn't. The longest run was from Trevor Etienne. It was 18 yards. There weren't a ton of explosive plays given up. There were four passing plays that, you know, Georgia had a 21-yard pass in the first quarter. They had a 17-yard pass in the second quarter. They had a 21-yard pass in the third quarter. And then they had the 43-yard deep ball to Oscar Delp on the on a drive in the third quarter. But, you know, they had three running plays that that broke. An 18-yarder, a 15-yard touchdown run kind of right up the middle from Trevor Etienne, and then a 14-yard run in the second quarter. After that, there were no – I mean, Texas completely shut down the running game of Georgia in the second half. So I just – you know, I look at this Texas defense. This Texas defense is playing championship – national championship-level defense. And I just thought it was interesting that Steve Sarkisian on Monday said, you know, we need our – our defense to hold down the fort until we can get the offense going. Well, that's what they've been doing. That's what they've been doing. And they held on as long as they could. I mean, you look at the way that the first quarter went, and it, you know, they intercept two passes. They give the offense extra possessions. They're only down 7-0 after the first quarter. And then, you know, in the second quarter, it gets a little messy. Texas turns it over twice. One, the interception by Quinn Ewers. It was, you know, great disguised defense by Georgia. You could tell Ewers was looking at the defender, Dalen Everett. And when the ball was snapped, Dalen Everett opened his shoulders like he was going to run in man coverage. And he totally baited Quinn Ewers into throwing the short, you know, ball in the flat. He totally came off Gunnar Helm and made the interception. It was great defense, well disguised. It was, you know, a great time for a pump and go is what it was. But that's neither here nor there. But this Texas defense is getting it done. Baron Sorrell might have played you know, his best game. I mean, he had four quarterback pressures. He was all over the place. He was, you know, he showed up in the big game. Jahdae Barron was outstanding. I mean, Jahdae Barron, the guy, two interceptions. He was constantly around the ball. He's playing at a really high level. I think he's going to have to play a really big role Saturday at Vanderbilt against the New Mexican Manziel, Diego Pavia. Anthony Hill's playing at a high level. Ethan Burke's playing at a high level when he gets to play. And, you know, David Benda came up big in the Georgia game. He played physical. He played the way Georgia's linebackers were playing. You know, he's coming downhill. He's knocking some people's heads off. And Andrew Makuba, what can you say? I mean, wow. The interception he had was, I think it now, it's either 1A One or 1A to Wardell Max layout catch in the end zone to preserve the shutout against Colorado State. But yeah, Andrew Makuba goes high in the air to bat the pass and then catches the carom on the way down. This defense, and You know, I don't know that we'll see Andrew Mukuba on Saturday against Vanderbilt. I get the feeling they may rest him in this game and give him the bye week to recover from the knee injury that he suffered against Georgia. But you got some really talented playmakers. You got some good leaders on that defense. And Michael Taff, who along with Anthony Hill played all 71 snaps against Georgia. Yikes. I thought we were past having to play guys every single snap of a game. Remember Jalen Ford played every snap, all 82 snaps against Oklahoma a year ago? It was his worst game. To Michael Taft's credit, he graded out pretty well. He and Anthony Hill Jr. both did. Malik Muhammad played 69 of the 71 snaps. Jahdi Barron played 69 of the 71 snaps, and those guys played well. Although Malik Muhammad, probably his toughest game, is a Longhorn. They completed, well, they only completed one of two. I take it back. They completed one of two passes for 21 yards. So Malik Muhammad, solid. Ethan Burke. So this is where I'm going to get a little, I just don't understand. On the Trey Moore snaps, Trey Moore played 53 snaps for Texas. 53 of the 71. And the guy does not make plays. You know, he may be, he did have a bull rush that it may have affected Carson Beck on the interception. I believe it was the interception to Mukuba, but I don't know. It was close. It wasn't obvious. He didn't, you know, Carson Beck didn't come off of his, he didn't change his footwork or move to get the pass off. He stood and delivered, but I know Trey Moore got a lot of money in NIL, but at some point you owe it to your team to play the guys who are making plays. And, you know, this was a interesting game. Colin Simmons played 27 snaps and didn't register a statistic. I didn't know if that was possible. But, you know, credit Georgia. Georgia's they've been the dominant program in college football for 3 years for a reason. But Colin Simmons is going to be fine. Like, I expect Colin Simmons to be everywhere on Saturday at Vanderbilt. And I expect Pete Kwiatkowski to come up with a plan to contain Vanderbilt's quarterback run game, the option game, the zone read. Because we've seen Pete Kwiatkowski get in his bag against teams that, you know, incorporate a quarterback run game. I think about the Kansas game last year. Yeah, Jalen Daniels didn't play, but Jason Bean was a senior who, you know, could run like the wind. And Jason Bean had 7 carries for 42 yards in that game. Texas won it 40-14. Of course, that was the game Jonathan Brooks ran 21 times for 218 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is an average of 10.4 yards per carry. I think Pete Kwiatkowski will come up with a good plan to contain this, you know, quarterback run game, this option game, and show everyone, hey, all the hype around Diego Pavia, we're gonna turn down the volume on that a little bit. I think Texas benefits by going on the road this week. I heard a couple players say, you know what, we need the togetherness of being on the road, the us against the world mentality that Texas seems to have been thriving on. They used to shrink on the road under Steve Sarkisian. Remember, he was 1-6 in true road games to start his time at Texas, and now he's won 8 straight true road games. And the last time we saw Texas in a true road game was at Michigan. And Texas was locked in. More specifically, Quinn Ewers was locked in. And I've been saying all week, if Texas gets the Quinn Ewers who showed up in Ann Arbor, the big house, seemingly oblivious to everything going on and just converting third down after third down after third down, then Texas is going to be fine and they're going to win this game, you know, 38-17. But we'll get to Quinn in a minute. But third down is where Vanderbilt's offense lives. And today, or excuse me, when I was able to ask a few questions on the SEC coaches call, I asked Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach at Missouri, about, you know, the keys to defending Diego Pavia. And they, you know, they grind out this option run game. And it's, you know, it's not dynamic. I mean, they're not incredibly explosive. They just need to get 4 yards on every carry. I mean, that is the goal. And Eli Drinkwitz was saying that if, you know, if they can get to 3rd and 4, it's a big difference between 3rd and 6 in the way that they call their plays. And Drinkwitz said Pavia is so locked in to that. Like, he knows, I got to get it to 3rd and 4. It can't be 3rd and 6. And he just has this force of nature, this will. He looks like a wrestler, not a quarterback. In fact, Eli Drinkwitz said that as well. He's like, you know, he looks like the rec league basketball guy who is making shot after shot. And you're like, he doesn't look that good. Like, you know, Diego Pavia idolizes Johnny Manziel for all the reasons you would think. You know, he likes to, you know, kill you on the field and then go celebrate it afterward. But the guy, you know, he grinds and he gets it done, but he's not nearly as explosive as Johnny Manziel. And he sure as hell doesn't have Mike Evans to throw the ball to. I mean, that was Mike Evans deserves maybe the stiff arm on that Heisman that Johnny won, because Johnny would just throw it up for grabs. Mike Evans would go get it. But Diego Pavia, you know, he doesn't look like Johnny Manziel. He's maybe the same height, but he's not explosive running, but he's a winner. I mean, this guy is a winner. We talked about this yesterday, that he won, you know, he took his high school team to the state championship. He took his JUCO team to the national championship. He took New Mexico State to 2 bowl games when they, you know, hadn't been to bowl games in years. And now he's transforming Vanderbilt, a 2-10 team last year that now is one win away from bowl eligibility. And they're the talk of the town after winning 3 straight SEC games. So I can't wait to watch the chess match of the Texas defense against this Vanderbilt offense, because if you can stuff Diego Pavia, you win. He's the head of the snake. If you let him get going, that whole crowd, everything, they will come to life. They will, you've got to jump on them early. And this is where the Texas defense, I think, is going to do their thing. But they need some life breathed into the game by the Texas offense. You know, the Texas offense has been, well, going into the Georgia game, they averaged 8.5 explosive pass plays per game, with almost 6 of those happening in the first half of all the games this season. 6 of 8.5. And I'm talking about passing plays of 15 yards or longer. So against Georgia, Texas did not have not one pass play of 15 yards or longer. Quinn Ewers started to get it going there in the third quarter, but by then Texas is down, 23 to nothing. And then he helps cut it to 23-15. And Georgia comes up with the drive of the season, right? I mean, Georgia, right? They in Texas, the Texas defense will look back and grimace that they had Georgia third and 10 from Georgia's own 11, and they converted it. And then went on an 11-play, 89-yard drive that took 5 minutes off the clock. Georgia, for the most part, was not able to sustain drives in this game against Texas. They had a 4-minute, 45 drive in the first quarter that ended with Carson Beck throwing the interception at the Texas 8-yard line. And so Georgia's longest drive of the first half, that 9-play, 62-yard drive for 4 minutes and 45 seconds, led to no points. But then it was, the Texas defense was, handed the short fields. It didn't go well. Georgia scored 17 points off of Texas's turnovers. And then in the second half, the Texas defense gave up one touchdown on that 11-play, 89-yard drive that put the game out of reach, really. It was, Texas had scored twice in a row to cut it to 23-15. They had them third and 10. And, Georgia was able to convert. And if you're going to look back at a play, that's the one. But, I mean, they hold Georgia to 283 total yards, 3.6 yards per carry. They hold them to 33% of third down conversions, 6 of 17. And intercept Carson Beck 3 times. Like, the Texas defense did its job. Now, they didn't do it on third and 10. I get it. But I want to see how this defense comes out this week, because they've been really good. They've been really good. I mean, Georgia's first 3 possessions were punt, interception, interception. The Texas offense's first 8 possessions were punt, punt, fumble, punt, interception, punt, punt, fumble. That was all in the first half. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? Not much. You're going to lose 30-15. But I think it's the right thing that Steve Sarkisian is challenging this team and telling them, look, we have something to prove. I mean, Steve Sarkisian on the SEC coaches teleconference on Wednesday said, we're a team that has something to prove. You know, he was asked how the players are responding this week in practice to the loss, first loss of the season. And Sarkisian said, quote, we've got a competitive locker room. We've got players that have great leadership, great competitive spirit about them. I think anytime you lose real competitors, that leaves a bad taste in their mouth. So I think we've got a football team that's got something to prove. We'll find out Saturday if we walk into the game with a chip on our shoulder or not. So we'll find out where we're at. Close quote. Sarkisian also called the Vanderbilt game a great test. And look, if you let Vanderbilt get in, here's how you're going to know if Texas is playing its game to its standard or if Vanderbilt is dragging Texas into quicksand and playing at Vanderbilt's tempo. So Vanderbilt's really good on third down, as I mentioned, converting, 52% of third downs with their offense, and that is top 10 in all of FBS. And by converting those third downs, it keeps their drives going. And it increases their time of possession. Vanderbilt averages 33 minutes of possession. That's 11th in FBS. And so third down is going to be critical. But here's how you're going to know if Texas is playing to its standard or if Vanderbilt is dragging Texas into the quicksand. So teams that have faced Vanderbilt this season are only averaging 56.4 plays per game. The Texas offense is averaging 69.9 plays per game. Now, Texas needs to be above 60. They need to be playing towards their average as opposed to Vanderbilt's average. Because I don't know how many basketball fans we have listening, but Princeton would make the NCAA tournament and they would play this four corners offense that would set up at the free throw line, and then inevitably they'd get a backdoor cut with like 3-4 seconds left on the shot clock. So they're getting high percentage shots and they're using up all the time on the play clock. And that's what Vanderbilt does from a football perspective. And they are really good on third down. They are really good in the red zone. Their red zone offense is sixth in FBS. So because they can run it, they're highly effective in the red zone. They are heavily penalized. They give up 60 yards per game in penalty yardage. And they don't have a great pass rush. They have 14 sacks on the season. Texas has 20. They have 38 tackles for loss. Texas has 53 tackles for loss. And Vanderbilt has done a good job of protecting Diego Pavia. They've only given up 11 sacks. Texas had only given up 6 sacks through 6 games, but they gave up 7 sacks to Georgia last Saturday. So Texas has now given up 13 sacks for the year. From a special teams perspective, it's pretty close. you know, about the same. Well, Vanderbilt a little better in net punting and definitely better in punt return. Vanderbilt averaging 17 and a half yards per punt return. That's really good, actually. And the two teams are about the same in kick return. So, you know, this is going to come down to, can Texas attack the Vanderbilt defense through the air? The recipe for Sarkisian all year has been to throw early to set up the run. So he comes out, you know, getting his quarterback into a passing rhythm. It's been a lot of short and intermediate stuff here lately. It's time to get back to the more explosive throws downfield. I think Isaiah Bond came, you know, they didn't overdo it on the ankle, but I think he's going to be okay. And Matt Golden was open a lot against Georgia. His, you know, those crossers that he runs at 12, 15, and 20 yards, he was open a lot. Texas, you know, the quarterbacks either didn't see him or they couldn't get it, you know, released before the pressure got there. But there were opportunities. And the thing I'm watching too is Quinn's pocket presence, because you go back and watch the Michigan game. He was stepping up in the pocket. He was sliding in the pocket and just had great pocket awareness. And these last two games, he's looked like he doesn't want to get hit. And so, you know, he stepped up early in the pocket and he ran for like 4 yards and then slid. But after he got rocked on that corner blitz by Dalen Everett, he wasn't stepping up in the pocket much after that. So again, if the injury is bothering him, he needs to be honest with Steve Sarkisian. And that's why I said, if I'm Sarkisian, I say on Monday, hey guys, sit them both down. Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, sit them both down and say, Quinn, you're the guy. And I've seen you play at an elite level. You've led this team. You played brilliantly at Michigan. That's what I'm looking for on Saturday against Vanderbilt. And if I don't see it, I'm going to assume you're more injured than you're leading on. And I'm going to give you the bye week to recover. And I'm going to put Arch in the game. We good? Okay. And then go on about your business. Don't bring it up again. Don't. Hopefully it's not even an issue. But that way everybody knows where they are, what's going on, and you go attack that week of practice with whatever chip you have on your shoulder. And that's what Texas needs. Because if they're, you know, let's say he plays like he did against OU, this will be a game. If Quinn Ewers plays like he did against Oklahoma, this game Saturday at Vanderbilt will be a four, you know, it'll be a game. I don't know if it'll be a fourth quarter. Probably would be a fourth quarter game. I think the Texas defense can shut down the Vanderbilt offense, hold it under 20 points for sure. But the Texas offense has got to generate more than 15 points. And I expect that they will. I expect Quinn Ewers to play one of the best games we've ever seen him play. And, you know, he's always been a bounce back guy. And Georgia's defense had a lot to do with him not bouncing back. You know, he put that ball right where Quintrevion Weisner needed to catch it. And Weisner dropped it. And then you're kind of like, well, gosh, where's Jaden Blue at that moment? And that's why, you know, you got to give Jaden Blue some snaps and let him show you, you know, give him a chance to earn your trust. I mean, and it's so weird because they're throwing it to him plenty. He was the leading receiver against Georgia. He caught 7 passes. But they didn't give him a single carry. And I get it. The Georgia defense was playing rock'em sock'em robots. Quintravian Wisner had 15 carries for 52 yards. That's 3.6 a carry. That Georgia defense was on fire. But if Quinn Ewers comes out and plays like he did against Michigan, then Texas wins its ninth straight road game and true road game. And the Texas offense gets back on track. So there you have it. All right. We like to wrap things up around here with a Sean Adams thought for the day. Sean Adams, my man, my allergies are flaring up. So I'm all sound all congested, but Sean Adams, my guy, seven years. We were like brothers, literally. Fought like brothers, looked out for each other like brothers. But Sean would post a thought for the day on his Instagram. They're all still there. His Instagram handle, this Sean with one S. This thought for the day comes from November 13th, 2016. Don't burn your opportunities for a temporary comfort. Don't burn your opportunities for a temporary comfort. Thanks, everybody, for listening to episode 43 of First Down with Chip Brown. Let's do it again tomorrow on a free-for-all football Friday. Until then, the dream is free. The hustle is sold separately. Go to work. Peace.